Now the reading of Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, with no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And I'm going to jump over to Luke chapter 19, verse 39. Luke chapter 19, verse 39 through 44, as we continue the reading of these events. Now some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it and he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day, what would bring you peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God coming to you." We praise God for his portion of his holy word. This is the word of God. Amen. You may be seated. Again, we hold the scripture above our head to show its authority over us in everything that we say and do. So this morning, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, we should probably ask the question, what is it that we really are celebrating? What is the point of it? And I would say, really, when you think about Palm Sunday, it's more of a warning than a celebration. A warning of at least two things. Number one, it's a warning of making Jesus into something that you want him to be. And number two, missing out on salvation that is brought to you this day. As we talked a bit last Sunday, Jesus had one focus, while those around him had another. Palm Sunday is one of the biggest misunderstandings of all time when you think about it. Jesus had one focus, everybody else had another focus. It was one big misunderstanding to everyone who was not named Jesus. They celebrated the Christ. They cried out, "Hosanna," which means save now. So as we read Hosanna, as we sang Hosanna, that means save now. Save now. His followers believed he was coming into Jerusalem to take his seat on the throne and overthrow the Roman government. This is what was already in the minds of the people and the disciples. And because it is what they wanted, now they had no problem praising him. As they seen Jesus coming down the road to Jerusalem, sitting on that colt, they began to praise him and worship him because they believed that he was about to do what they wanted to do right now, in this very moment, to overthrow the Romans and give them their freedom and to rule and reign. How about you? Any problem praising God when you think he's going to give you what you want right now? Huh? It's pretty easy to praise God when you think he's going to give you what you want right now. We'll all grab a bunch of these palms and start waving them in the air. Boy, if we're not careful, we could really make Jesus into our own God, can't we? There are a lot of people today that paint Jesus in a picture that is a lot different than who he is and what the scriptures say he taught and what he came for. Is your Jesus the Jesus of the scriptures that we just read this morning? Or is he a Jesus that you formed around your own opinions and beliefs? And let me just say that you can have given your life to Christ for a long time, and you could be a strong believer, and you can still slip into the problem of trying to mold Jesus Christ into your own Savior instead of allowing him to be the Savior. As Jesus came riding on that donkey, which again was a sign of a king coming in peace. And every year I say the same thing, because every year it's still true. He came riding on a donkey showing peace, but when he comes again, he comes on the horse to conquer and to show victory. Amen? Now, as he came down riding on that donkey, he knew these same people were going to be yelling, "Crucify him," less than a week from today. If it was me, I would have wanted to come pretty much try to, if I or you were Jesus riding on this donkey and these people are praising you for what you're going to do, and you know in your head they're going to be on crucify him, you probably would want to call them out on it, wouldn't you? Jesus didn't, though. He didn't call them out. How many times, though, do we praise God and say, "God is good"? But when it doesn't go our way, our attitude changes. How many times do we treat Jesus the same way? "God is good, I'll praise you today. But as soon as it's not going well, crucify him." You may not be saying crucify him, but you're acting in a way that to bring in glory and praise to him. Amen? Everybody with me? Then to add insult to injury, our good buddies the Pharisees have to put their 2 cents into it. They say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples," basically for praising you and calling you the Messiah. They knew they were calling him the Messiah, and they wanted Jesus to make a public statement and put an end to what they were saying. But Jesus responded by looking directly at them in the face. Can you imagine the piercing eyes of Christ directly back at you? As Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." I try to think what and how I would feel. Think about what Jesus might have felt during this time. You know, Palm Sunday, really, there was a party that was going on. It broke out. And they broke out the palm branches, the huge crowds of people chanting and cheering. But what was going on through Jesus' mind as this was all happening? Now, obviously, I can't get in the mind of Jesus, but I would probably think that as all this was going on, his heart broke. His heart broke. In Luke chapter 19, verse 41, it says, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and as he saw the city, what did he do? He wept over it. He cried over it and said, "If only you knew on this day what would bring you peace." If you are sitting here this morning, or you're listening on the radio or on the internet, and you're hearing the word of God but not receiving it, you know not what will bring you peace. You see, as Jesus came to that city of Jerusalem, if only the hearts would have turned towards him to receive him for who he was and what he was about. Because he was here to bring spiritual salvation, to rule as king in their hearts and not upon a material throne. But yet the people, they did not know him personally. They did not know and understand what was taught about him and the prophecies before him. And so as Jesus looked over Jerusalem, and really as he looked over the hearts of the people, he saw the rejection in their hearts because they chose something that was other than what Jesus was there for. How many people today may believe in a Jesus, or may even hear the words of Jesus, or maybe even are listening to these words right now, but because they won't get what they want from Jesus, they will turn away. And in so not knowing what true peace is, and true peace is having eternal life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and having him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Knowing what brings you peace is important. Knowing Jesus is what brings you peace. We know, and for those of you that maybe aren't sure or don't know, that the true gospel message is that we are all sinners. If you're a sinner, raise your hand this morning just so I don't feel like I'm by myself. Okay, good. Just making sure we're all staying humble. We're all sinners. We're all sinners, and we're all separated from a holy God because of our sin. Therefore, Jesus had to come because he was perfect. He was our sacrifice. He took our place. He died on the cross. His blood ran. Because of that blood, when I believe that he is the Son of God, I believe he died on the cross for my sins. His blood covers my sin. Because my sins are now covered by his blood, I can come in the presence of a holy God. That is the simple gospel. I no longer live for myself, but I live for him. I've surrendered my ways, and I now follow his will. And it's his grace that helps me the times I stumble and I sin. So here is the Messiah, the Son of God, who is shared by faith in himself that one only finds salvation through him. For he is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but how? But through him. And yet as events play out and go on in a way that was not expected by those around him, you see the bandwagon jump off the bandwagon. He can't help. He can't help me if he's going to die. Must not be what I need to get what I want. Think about how many people thought that in those days. He is going to die. I guess I can't get what I need. I guess he isn't what I want. Think about how many people say that today. Think about how many of us at one point maybe have said that. He is a God full of rules. I can't get what I need, so I don't want him. Not what I want today. Our salvation is what we all need. And then as we grow in a relationship with him, he shows us the things that we really needed. And the things that we thought we needed, he shows that they weren't that important after all. Do you follow Jesus to get what you need or to get what you want? What you need is best known by God, and faith in him is what brings it about. God says that he will supply all of your needs. He's not going to give you all your wants. To not believe in eternal life of separation from God is a scary situation. We must understand that there are consequences in not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand that what you want comes from the desires of your heart, which can't always be trusted and many times is defective because of our sins and our emotions. You'll hear a lot of people say, well, I just followed my heart. That's not always a good thing. Your heart will lead you in some places that you shouldn't go, because Scripture says that our hearts are wicked and full of deceit. That we can't trust them. And so instead, we need to make sure that we're following the one who has given us our word and is a light into our path. So to believe or not to believe is not a trivial choice. It has significant consequences. To believe is eternal forgiveness and life with God. To believe is eternal forgiveness and life with God. I would hope that each and every one of us would want that. And there is no other God that will give that. If you believe in some other God, like Allah or the gods of the Jehovah Witnesses, even though they use the name Jesus, it ain't the same. They don't believe he's the Son of God.
That salvation is only through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who died for our sins, the only one who has right and authority to give us forgiveness because of what he has done for us. And to not believe in him is real separation from God. If you die tonight, and again, you know, let me just go through what I go through just so, again, we're reminded. Our good works will not get us into heaven. Our good works won't get us into heaven. We do good things to glorify God, to show our thankfulness, to be used as the body of Christ, as he's called us to do good things for his glory and to help others. But our good works don't get us into heaven. It's only the blood of Jesus that gets us into heaven. And if you do not ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and to live for him, that blood does not cover you. And so when you stand before God, you could say whatever you want to say. It ain't going to do anything for you. You could have a million good works under your belt. It ain't going to get you in there. It is only the blood of Jesus. And if you don't have the blood of Jesus upon you, you will be separated from God for eternity in a place called hell. And it's not because God wants to send you there. It's because you sent yourself for not believing in the Son. God did everything he needed to do. Your part is believing in faith. Amen? Amen. So as today we look at Palm Sunday, make sure that as you leave, you get your palms. Make sure you wave them for the right reasons. Wave it in knowing that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and you follow and worship him for who he is and not what you want to make him out to be. He is Jesus, the Savior. He has reasons for the things that he spoke into the hearts of men and women. Don't turn Jesus into your own personal God, so to speak, where he does what you want him to do. Let him be who he is and allow him to be your Lord and your Savior. So as Palm Sunday leads us towards Thursday evening communion, and Good Friday, and then a week from today, from the Resurrection Sunday, think of today as the King who will save us now, not in the way we think, through good works, but through his death, burial, and resurrection. And remember, he is coming again. Think of Hosanna, the one who is alive, the one who saves us, the one who sits upon the throne, and the one that is ready to come back for his people when the Father says it's time to go. So this morning we think about Palm Sunday. Let these branches remind us that we worship a God who loves us and proved it by what he did for us. And don't make Jesus be something that he's not. Receive him as he is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for what you've done. Lord, forgive us, because at times I think we all try to mold Jesus or try to mold you, Lord God, into what we think you should do, into what we think you should say, and how our life should go. But instead, help us to understand that when we come into this relationship, it is full submission on our part. That our salvation was bought at the price, the very price of the Son of God. And so, Lord God, let us seek not our will, but that your will is done in our life. And even through the difficulties of struggles and sorrows that we don't understand, let us know that you want only what is best for us. And as we go through these difficulties in life, you will be the one that will strengthen us and help us and mold us and shape us in the image of your Son. And Lord God, that you will draw us even closer to you in our understanding of your ways. Father, we love you. We praise you. And we pray that as we go out through this week, that we don't rush, that we don't go through the motions, but that we take each moment and really think about what has gone on in this week and how it applies to our lives and those we love around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we close together as a church family, we're going to stand together and we're going to sing the song, Hosanna.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Wash away, Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saved us, worthy of all. All our fears are washed away.
Washed away.
Sing it out, Hosanna!
Hosanna! Hosanna! You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna! Hosanna!
We're all going to see when we see you.
When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away.
When we see you.
When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who saved us. Worthy of all our praises. Hosanna.
To our God who overcomes all. Father God, Lord, we praise you, Lord. We rejoice and we are glad. Father God, Lord, for you sent your Son to pay each and every one of our penalties. And Father God, Lord, we continually come before you and ask for your forgiveness. That every time that we sin, Lord, We keep on putting Christ back on that cross. But we praise you that you freely went and bought and paid for us in full. Father God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that no longer do we live for ourselves, but we live for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father God, Lord, we praise you knowing, Lord, that what is in the past is in the past, and that we press on to whatever the future holds. Father God, Lord, I pray that you blot out the ideas that we have, Lord, and let your will and your way be done in each and every one of our lives. Father God, lay it upon our hearts, Lord, that we come to glorify your name. Father God, Lord, I pray that you lay it upon our hearts to tell somebody new how great and awesome our God is. Father God, I pray that you lay it upon our hearts, Lord, that we act as if we are that light to this world. Father God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that when people see us, Lord, they see you. And Father God, Lord, I pray and ask, Lord, that you continue to humble our ways and help us, Lord, to bring glory to you. For Lord God, all things that we do are for your glory and not for our own. It is your righteous, holy, awesome, mighty, and majestic name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.
Again, I'd like to thank you for listening to Voice in the Valley. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to come join us on a Sunday morning, we have a church van that can come and pick you up. Just call the church before 9 a.m. on Sunday. The phone number is 570-645-2212. And leave your name and your address and your phone number, and we'll come pick you up. Also, our Thankful Thrift Store is open every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 24 West Ridge Street, Lansford. The phone number is 570-645-9920. So if you get a chance, stop by, come in, say hi, and we have all kinds of things in the Thankful Thrift Store. We hope that you have a great and blessed week.